I'm picking out a thermos for you. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is Wednesday morning, as far as I know. I believe it's Wednesday morning, November 23rd, 2027, and it's 7:18 a.m. right now. Of course, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia still. I will be here till Friday. There's some interesting developments going on. One is a couple of developments that are in my cup. I have a thermos, and I have a bottle of water here beside me. I am well hydrated. Well, I will be well hydrated if I drink all this. So I'll probably have to do a potty stop in the middle of the show. That will not stop me. I will still be pottying. That's what the depends are for. I have, it all depends. I have some interesting stuff going on. A couple of stories I want to get to, and then as well as just a general story of some. It's always interesting when people send me something at the same time that I'm actually looking into it, and it has nothing to do with anything that's in the news really right now necessarily. This is kind of it's just one of those coincidences that I don't really believe in coincidence. So it's one of those things that's, I think that God is in details more than we realize sometimes. And I think that we have to keep that in mind. That's what I keep in mind. So it's kind of an interesting, little side story here that I'm going to talk about. But however, there's some things in the news that I want to talk about other than what's in my cup. Now, in my main cup, I have a little cup of tea, which is still left over from my Arby's experience yesterday. It's still okay. It's good. It's still in the original cup. I still have the original straw. So it's all original. The only thing it's missing is the original ice. I'm not sure where that went. It's gone. I'm not sure what happens to ice. It's just gone. And then in my thermos, of course, yesterday I had some apple cider mixed with V8 Fusion, peach mango V8 Fusion, and in that cup I did put some sweet tea as well. I did put some sweet tea in there because I just wanted to top off my cup, my thermos, before I went to the office. So I put some of my sweet tea in there from Arby's. So it's a blend of a few things, which is very nutritious. The flavor's good, but, it's very nutritious. Now, I also have beside me here a bottle, big bottle of water. It's a huge, huge bottle of water. Hardly anything out of that one. Probably drinking some of that along the way. So, sit back and relax and enjoy your three cups of whatever you've got there, along with me, as I drink all this stuff. The only thing I don't have is my chai. I don't have any hot chai to drink here. In fact, I didn't even bring any on this trip. I do, however, have some Keurig hot chocolate cups, so I might try to make. There is a Keurig coffee maker in the rooms here, this hotel, so I might try making a cup of that. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. We might give it a try. We'll see what happens there. It won't be happening during the show. So now on to more important things. Arizona, the gubernatorial race. For those of you on the who live in Elkhart, that's the governor's race in Arizona. Interesting developments there. The state attorney general apparently has some issues with what's going on there with mail-in ballots. And there is an investigation going on right now at this point that probably will be rather extensive, also very expensive. But there's some nefarious activity that apparently has been discovered, and it's some issues that are on the radar out there. And they're not going to call the election until the fact that the state attorney general basically says they're not going to certify the election until they get to the bottom of some things. Carrie Lake has not conceded as well. She's not conceded the race. Now, this gets into some interesting election law that I think the Democrats understand, and they play this stuff like a fiddle. I had an experience with a union when I was involved in and I'm involved in it again now. I mean, it's another situation, but I've had two experiences in my life where I've had to be a member of a union to be in a particular occupation. The first one was an interesting one. It was what I observed in my time with this union was that the people in the company, there were a couple individuals specifically who on a day-to-day basis interacted with employees and could, you know, how they managed the employee workforce was directly involving, you know, the union all the time. They were constantly involved in work rules. Now, this individual knew the contract in some ways, I think, better than most of the union representatives. Now, the trouble with the union representatives is that they tend to be elected every year or so, and in that process, you might get new people in there, and then people will, you know, the workforce is a revolving door. You don't always have the same people in there. The people in management, however, had been there for 5-10 years, sometimes 20 now. Some of them have been there 30 years now. The same people. And they know the contract. They negotiated the contract. They know all the loops, all the loopholes, I should say, not the loops, but the loopholes within the contract and the way it's worded and the way the punctuation is and how they can change things at their whim based on exactly how it's worded. But they also know that because of the certain acts of regulations concerning unions, they can get away with certain things. They can just deny you something, and you have to grieve it, to file a grievance. Well, that grievance can take, you know, a year or two to be settled in some situations. It gets, you know, ridiculous at that point. And that grievance might not have to do with your pay. It might have something to do with your time off. You can't get that back. You know, somebody's not going to have their wedding again, or they're not going to have, you know, some kind of event that happens in life that you can't get back because of a particular grievance, because of a work rule issue. Pay, yes, can be, but however, that, you know, with inflation, okay, so, you know, they owed you $10,000 back in, you know, 2018. That $10,000 isn't worth as much now. And they've been holding on to your money all that time. It would have been nice to be able to pay off your car. It would have been nice to be able to pay off your student loan, whatever it was. But you couldn't because you sat there. Or just pay your bills, not have to borrow money to live because you were expecting that money to. So those kinds of things are very detrimental to families. Most families, I would say a vast majority of families in this country, if you have to pay, or if you don't receive $10,000 you're expecting to get through in a year, typically that's enough to devastate a family. I mean, set them back, way back, in terms of trying to recoup from that. So it's a huge deal. Unfortunately, that has a lot to do with just discipline and money management and living beyond means and all that. There's all kinds of things you can get into there. We look at the standards of, you know, the American way of life standards, and we think that we have to live a certain way. And because of that, you have, you know, issues of people just living, if not beyond their means, they live right up to their means. And that's, you know, not within their means, but at their means. So they like literally have no emergency. They don't understand the definition of an emergency, basically. I know of a young individual who took time off of work for a family matter, willingly took the time off work, and used up their emergency fund for this. That's, of course, then they had an emergency, and they had no fund. And they started asking family members for money. Tried to explain the situation. Well, I used my emergency fund for this. Well, that wasn't an emergency. That was just regular life. Those things happen in life. You chose to take time off work. That was not an emergency. You might have felt justified in it at the time, but then you had an emergency. You had a car accident. And involving that car accident, you had some legal matters to attend to. And those legal matters, first of all, you have no car now. And you also have these legal matters to deal with, which is going to cost you. Of course, the lawyer is going to make money on that one. They always do. So it's a situation that was kind of self-imposed in some ways. The circumstances around the family matter were not self-imposed, but your choices in the midst of that family matter became an issue. Now, I don't know how big the so-called emergency fund was, whether it would have been enough to take care of the actual emergency or not. A lot of people think they have an emergency fund, and it's just enough to get them through a week. It's not enough to get them through, 6 months. There's all kinds of things you can. As I look through scripture, it's percentages are sometimes the key to managing things. Percentage here, percentage there. Of all of your increase, you have a percentage of things that go into certain, let's say, envelopes, pockets, folders, storage places, whatever. And the process of doing that, I think, sets aside this idea of, well, I'm not just willy-nilly spending money. And when I get $100, $10 goes into this envelope and $10 goes into that envelope and maybe $20 goes into that other envelope. This provides a disciplined way of life that I think is key to money management, to your wealth management, if you want to call it that. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a brain surgeon, and I'm just a guy talking into his. Right now, I'm talking into my iPhone, recording my show here. So, but there are principles I think that we have to kind of look at in terms of tradition and kind of how we need to discipline ourselves. That's the big part of it, is just disciplining ourselves, so that we have money set aside, a certain percentage of funds for certain things, not just outspending, willy-nilly money. That's where the key is the discipline and really recognizing where your money's going. Somebody who makes... Anyway. Some interesting things. I don't know where I got off, why I got off on that particular story. What's happening in Arizona? I was talking about what was happening in Arizona, and all of those kind of went down that route. So we have this thing where we have shenanigans being investigated in Arizona right now. We also have Marjorie Taylor Greene and several others in Congress now. They're finally getting their foothold. I think they're getting their boldness going because, of course, in January they're all going to be taking over the House. We'll see what happens with this. But right now, it looks like they are stepping up to the plate to start some investigations. One is a huge investigation into what in the world is going on with all the money that's going to Ukraine. They want accountability. This is something Mitch McConnell could have called for. You could have heard him voicing his opinion on this and voicing some concern. He actually shot down those ideas. Rand Paul, Senator Paul, proposed I think it was an addendum to one of the bills for all the, like, the $40 billion they were sending to Ukraine that Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer and President Biden all jumped in on. And they passed this thing. And Rand Paul tried to throw in a bill or an addendum, in addition to it, that there would be accountability, there would be oversight to this thing. They all shot it down. No, we can't do any. That's politics. We have to just get this. This needs to be a standalone bill. We just need to get this money to Ukraine right away. Right away. They need this money right away. $40 billion. We're just writing a check out to... How do you fill that check out? You just... Ukraine? Pay to the order of Ukraine. Who gets the money? Where does the money go? It just goes into their general fund. You know, let's get some explanation here on how these funds are transferred, when it's transferred, who it goes to, who physically gets the money, and what it's spent on. We're just going to send them $40 billion. Now, their infrastructure there is being devastated. Are they going to have funds to restore, repair, rebuild? Or is this aid only going to basically take care of refugees? That, you know, if Russia ends up taking over the country, then who gets that money? Where's that money? Do they get that money? Are those funds already invested in the country? There's just no, it's just willy-nilly. Everybody's on board with this money going to Ukraine, so let's send it all over there, because that way the oligarchs who get, they're actually getting the money, get it funneled back to our campaigns. They owe us now. This is the questions that come up with this whole thing. I've also got some, speaking of questions, there's some questions about things like vaccines and healthcare. There is a Roman Balmakov last night had a really good show on Facts Matter, talking about funeral homes and how they're seeing this spike in deaths. And he also covered a little bit about the life insurance companies who are seeing an increase in not even COVID related, basically COVID deaths don't even. Basically, what they're saying is that it's insignificant with regard to the amount of, how you want to say, that the very insignificant within the range of what matters with this whole thing. Now, Bill Gates made a statement in a TED Talk, not only in a TED Talk, he made this statement a couple of times in a couple different interviews. But he makes it very clear here in this particular one, in this very famous TED Talk, and actually, they tried to take it down. In fact, if you go to the TED Talk website, or the TED Talk channel on YouTube, you will not find Bill Gates' talk, which was several years ago, is well before COVID. But let's just listen here for a moment to what Bill Gates says. And he made this, like I said, he made this statement several places in several different. So this isn't just a misstatement. He didn't just misspeak here. This is what he thought. So let's listen to this. Hopefully it's loud enough. I'm playing this from my computer onto my phone here. This is why I had to talk on my phone this morning, because I wanted to be able to play this. And you'll hear this several times. And now it's interesting that I was looking for this morning. And someone sent me something, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. That it's just, I don't think it's coincidence. But we'll see if it's see what you think. Here's TED, or this is a TED Talk by Bill Gates, and listen carefully to what he says about population control, healthcare, and vaccines.
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
We could lower the population if we do a really good job with healthcare, vaccines. We could lower that by 10 or 15%. Let's listen to it again. Now, I actually have it on 1.25 times speed just to save time. So he's not as, this is slower. This is actually faster than what he actually says it. He actually says it slower. Let's listen to it again.
First, we've got population.
Population.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services.
New vaccines, healthcare, and reproductive services.
We could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
We could lower that by 10 or 15%. That, how does that make sense? Healthcare, vaccines, and reproductive services. Now, I think if he were to talk about reproductive services alone, I could see where he might get this 10 or 15%. There are countries, and I spent some time in Africa, and some of the leaders of the group that I was with talked about how they need to plan their children. Rather than having just one child after another, they need to plan them, spread them out a little bit. Instead of having, you know, a child every year, or sometimes two in a year, they need to have maybe one every 2 years. And the way you do that, of course, is through birth control. So that was what they were proposing to these people, that they were trying to explain to them, you know, if you have too many children. Well, the reason that they would have so many children is because they didn't expect all of them to live. There was all this issue. The other thing was they were trying to have children because that was a method by which the family unit would be more productive. They literally could, you know, they had more children to work the farm. They had more, you know, it was part of their abundance. They considered it a blessing to have more children because they could act. But of course, then you have the mouths to feed. You have to deal with that issue. But that was minuscule for them. They saw it more of as a productive way of raising the family. A larger family was more productive, and that's the way they saw it. In an agrarian society, that typically is the case. Of course, they didn't, you know, the social engineers, they don't like agrarian societies. They like population in cities, and they'll take care of you in the cities. That's why people who live in cities for long periods of time have a tendency to become more dependent on governments. They see government as more of an essential than something that's getting in their way. It's a slow lulling of the people that's happening. Now, so this whole vaccine thing, vaccines and healthcare. We do a really good job with vaccines and healthcare, can lower that by 10 or 15%. And people kind of go silent when they hear this, when they see this kind of thing. It's very almost disturbing when you think about this. You would think that healthcare and vaccines would increase people living. It's a very strange statement to make. So I'm not exactly sure what his intention was in saying it. But it seems like an odd statement to throw vaccines in there. So having said that, we've just had went through a pandemic where almost the entire world was vaccinated. High percentage of the entire world was vaccinated. And we had a lot of COVID deaths. I think in the first year of 2022, I think deaths were up 20% because of COVID, according to some statistics. I'm not sure even those statistics are a little bit, in fact, Roman Bolnikov actually pointed out that there are some questionable statements there in the CDC's rendition of how many people died of COVID. Now, more people died, there's no question about it, but the question of the numbers is a little bit skewed, I think, on the part of what was being reported by the government agencies. However, We now have, here's this interesting thing. Death rates are up. Okay, some estimates are 15%, some are up to 20%. And in fact, there are some insurance companies that are saying 40% more deaths than normal, 40% more than normal are happening, which is devastating to the insurance companies. It's a boon to funeral homes. Now, Roman goes through this report from one particular funeral home, national funeral home chain, believe it or not, that buys up little smaller funeral home services when they are for sale, and they're one of the largest national, I'm going to call it a chain, funeral home chain or services, and they're noticing at least a 15% increase over what they saw in 2019 in normal years of death, and these are not COVID-related. And the largest increase among that group and demographic is between 44 and 55. Which is interesting because right around that age group is where I've known a couple of people who've suddenly died. Sudden death syndrome among adults is highly on the increase. It's a huge number right now. Now, what's interesting about this Bill Gates clip here is that I looked for this morning and I found it. Then I was playing the video that a friend sent me. It's on Rumble actually, and it has to do with the whole. I haven't even heard the whole thing, but as I was playing it in the intro, it was talking about all these different clips of some people saying some things. And they played this clip in that thing, and it stood out like a sore thumb. I don't know if you've ever had a sore thumb or not, but when you do, it has a tendency, you don't want to do anything with it because it's sore, so it sticks out. You don't make a fist with it, you don't do it. It's sore, so that's why it sticks out like a sore thumb. But I digress. The interesting thing here is how this clip showed up in three different places. One is where I was looking for it. Another place was I was actually looking for a different clip for something else that I was going to do, and then this guy sends me this clip that's contained within this video that he sent me. One of the prominent ones that stood out right away, and they went right from that clip to someone talking about how ironic that this guy would talk about that kind of thing, and just what I'm saying exactly this morning. Now, are we drawing conclusions? You can draw your own conclusions here. I'm not going to draw any conclusions. One of the explanations that this funeral home service gave was that, well, because people didn't go in to see the doctor, they had diagnoses of different things that they didn't get early on because the doctor's offices were closed. People didn't want to go to the doctor's office, so they didn't get their diagnoses on time. Now, here there's an interesting and strange thing here that people don't talk about. COVID, who were the most vulnerable during COVID, and what happened? Who were the most, what was the death rate among the highest demographic? What was the demographic of most people who died during COVID? The elderly, people with comorbidities, people with pre-existing conditions, and or they were very old and had issues that they were weak already. So in normal situations, when you're talking about groups of people, this pandemic would have, and this sounds like a kind of insensitive way to say it, but in terms of understanding, I'm going to say this, it was a culling of the herd. In other words, the weak, the more vulnerable, those with comorbidities, issues that would have probably killed them anyway, killed them sooner because of COVID, because of their weakened state. There should be a dramatic decrease in deaths now, of normal deaths. If there was an increase like that for that period of time, there should be an after period where, okay, now the stronger people who survived this, there should be a lull in deaths. In fact, a decrease in death rates. following an event like this once it's kind of over with. That is not the case. There has been ups and downs. In a normal year without COVID, without a pandemic, there would be a 1% to 2% increase or decrease in death rates. It is a pretty fairly standard, normal kind of thing. Now, of course, during a pandemic, that's not going to be the case. But post-pandemic, you know, if death rates are up 2% one year, they would normally go down 2% the next year. It is really on that kind of a mean level, almost a straight line, linear type thing. The increases and decreases are very minute. During the pandemic, that increase in death rates should lead to a decrease in death rates by at least half that, especially unrelated to COVID deaths, should be way down. That is not the case. I'm not going to say it's the vaccine, but there's one thing that's been introduced into the population. There's two things that have been introduced into the population. One thing that's man-made, the other is the COVID itself. So did COVID itself, is it causing these symptoms of myocarditis, all the other things that happen? I'm not a doctor, so I can't. But all the other heart issues and death issues that we're seeing, or is it the vaccine that is causing these things to happen? Those are the two things that have been introduced into the population in the last couple of years that we have to look at. Those are the new things that you have to see. Now, I don't know. I'm just doing simple math here. And when you look at the increase in deaths that have happened, it is, well, I'm not going to get into the actual numbers on this. I know that Dr. John Campbell has come up with some things, and I'll put these numbers together because I don't want to talk in numbers just off the top of my head. That's why I'm not going to get into numbers. I want to have the numbers in front of me with reports and studies because I don't have that in front of me at the moment, and I would be doing a disservice to try to quote this stuff off the top of my head that I think I know the numbers, but I don't want to say them because I don't want to be giving you information that's not accurate based on certain things like that. Just interesting stuff that's been going on with all of that. Now, along with these things, now Anthony Fauci, of course, now is being called before Congress. He's probably going to be asked to speak. Now, he's talking about resigning at the end of this year. He's the highest paid individual, if you don't know who he is. He's the highest paid individual in the U.S. government right now as the health expert. You know, people shouldn't be walking around wearing masks right now. Maybe you should wear a mask. You know, everybody should be wearing masks right now. Or maybe a second, you know, another layer just makes common sense. That's the extremes that we went to. We went from, you don't have to wear a mask. Because I had to lie. I had to tell people not to wear masks because we had to save them for the health care people. So he's trying to win himself over with the health care industry by saying that. Well, I was protecting you. But why didn't you just come out and say, if you have masks, give them to the health care, the frontline workers right now. Wearing a mask is effective, but we need to save them for the health care workers, those people who are out there in the front lines. The American people would have gone along with that. So but basically all you're saying is you don't trust the American people to just give them the truth and let us make our decisions and we'll make, trust us to make the right decisions. That's what you're telling us, really, that's what you're saying. Which I think is despicable. Who's your favorite president, Anthony Fauci? Abraham Lincoln. Well, you know what Abraham Lincoln said? Abraham Lincoln said, let the people know the truth and the nation will be saved. Abraham Lincoln trusted the American people to do the right thing. But he's your favorite president, and you don't trust the American people to do the right thing. You know, maybe it's because you would think in a developed nation that we have developed so far from, you know, the 1800s, you would think that the American people would be better educated now, more trustworthy because of our wonderful public education system. That's not the case at all. It's the dumbing down of America. The socialization issues that we have. They learn more about being woke now than they do about reading, writing, and arithmetic. Letting you make your own decisions, learning how to think instead of what to think. Schools like to tell you what to think, not how to think for yourself. It's an atrocious tragedy within our public school system. Not all of them are that way, but they're getting that way. Now, moving on. Elon Musk is under attack by the left because of his some of his by the left and the right some of his policies. He will not allow Alex Jones back on Twitter. And I think he should be allowed back on if he wants to be. Alex Jones doesn't care so much. He's not making a big deal out of it. President Trump has not actually tweeted, I don't think, on Twitter yet at this point. I don't think. I'm not positive of that. He may not go back. I think he's trying to continue to keep his Truth Social and some of the other things going by staying off. But he knows that by going back to Twitter, it would. I think he has like 90 million followers on Twitter, something like some ridiculous amount. And so that would be a big deal to Twitter. And I think he's going to wait and see what happens with Twitter. He's concerned about, but President Trump says he's concerned about Twitter. There's some issues here with Twitter. Now, I know that Elon wants to use the platform to create his X, the Society X or whatever it is he's trying to get done. He actually was one of the originators of PayPal. I don't know if you remember that. He was one of the people who helped start PayPal. And it was called X before that. It was PayX or whatever it was called. And became PayPal then. But he was part of that whole thing. And it's still part of his dream, his bigger vision, to kind of centralize all of the commerce that happens in the world, which sounds like a very convenient thing. And it would be. Technology is very convenient. It makes our life more convenient. The problem is it also is very intrusive, and it could ultimately be used by people like Google to do things that are very nefarious. It's a lot of power you're giving them. You're giving them the right to your privacy. You're willing to give those things up, your privacy and security, in order to make life more convenient. It's interesting this morning, in fact, I was just looking for information about something, and I typed into Google, just trying to find this information for something I wanted to purchase. And as I put it in there, it came up with all these different options, all these different advertisements as well as different things. And there was a map there, and it showed all the things in the local area. Now, something else popped up, and it said, do you want Google to know your location? Do you want to block this website, or you want to block this from knowing your location? Well, it already knows my location, folks, because it came up with things within the 50 miles here from Atlanta where I'm at. Too late. Well, yeah, I want to block it from knowing my location. It already knows. Too late for that. It's just this kind of interesting kind of things that we have this false security idea that somehow I have some control over my security, and Google knew right away where I was. It didn't matter. So we're not just living in the footprints in the past where I've been. It's the shadow of where I'm standing that they know where I'm at. So it's a little different. It's a little more, real time kind of stuff. So when we give our personal information out there, when we operate in those ways, that's those kinds of things happen a lot. Yeah. Well, folks, that's about all I've got really today to talk about today. I wanted to kind of just bring up a few things and kind of cover some issues that were kind of just mulling around in my head. I'll be paying attention to the news today and tomorrow intently to kind of bring us up to speed on the weekend here, what's happening. But once again, I want to thank you for listening, for subscribing, for sharing, for commenting if you can on any platforms that this particular podcast happens to be on. And once again, continue to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for this new Congress that's coming in, that they will do the right thing, and that we will somehow get to the bottom of a few issues and have some justice in this country. In the meantime, we'll pray for each other. And we'll continue to lean in to what God is doing and how he's leading us in this nation. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful day. And blessings to you.